But we do have some announcements. If you are thinking about the marriage night, which I don't think there's too many because we didn't have anybody officially sign up, so we've made the very rather easy decision. We just decided to cancel it, but we'll be doing something soon. I'll be getting with Helen about that. We will have our church all-church meeting next Sunday after service to discuss what do we want to do, talk about Tom's proposal for the system. You can see a picture of what it could look like up there, talk about that proposal, and I will do my best to get you all that proposal if you weren't on the board and didn't have that, but this is open to anybody, whether you're a member or just call this church your home. I'd love to get your feedback and input and see the Lord for what he wants to do on that. And I recognize, looking through the emails, I forgot the ladies thing, didn't I, Rachel? It's not up there. So ladies crafting will be Saturday 19th. It'll be another virtual event, so sign to the Zoom, and it's been pretty successful, a lot of fun connecting, especially with Randy's wife and daughter up in Michigan. So hopefully you guys will come down here and move down, but until then, we can gather together virtually. And I think that covers just about everything. We do have a special guest, so Brian Shore, if you want to come up here. He is, I'm going to butcher the title, I believe he is the North Florida Representative for Church Advance or something like that for the Alliance Southeast. We'll be joining the Alliance Southeast officially in January, but he's just here to welcome folks. Did you?
All right, I can use that. Good morning, everybody. I come to you from the Alliance Southeast, used to be called the Southeastern District. A few of you who are here remember when your church was in our district previously. I think in 2002, the shift was made to the Southern District. I'm representing our district superintendent, interim district superintendent, Harris Campbell, and we'll be having an election in March to elect a new district superintendent. But I've been in North Florida for a number of years, and I represent the churches from Jacksonville all the way over to you guys, all the way down to Ocala. And my responsibilities have been increasing lately. And I'm just here to say hi and get to know you and your leadership a little bit. I love your pastor. There's two reasons. Number one, he spells his first name correctly. And that's a big deal among the Bryans of the world. You have to spell it B-R-I-A-N. Occasionally people mess up and spell it B-R-A-I-N, and that's just, you know, that just happens. Yeah, you know, they. I got a report card one time in high school, and it said Brain Shore, and then my trigonometry teacher said, your name does not match your grade, and which was very, very true. But we're glad to be here with you. My wife, Vicki, is seated over there. We haven't been married 50 years. We've been married 43 years, and so... Yeah, that's in October, that'll be. And her birthday is coming up next week, so you can say happy birthday to her as well. She's only 30, though, 30 years old. So it's a joke, but anyway, okay, all right. Yes, she did, yes. It was an arranged marriage before her parents were even married or anything, yeah. In our district, we are attempting to increase the gospel footprint of the gospel of Jesus throughout the state of Florida. And we are all about having churches who make disciples who make disciples. And we are here to help you to accomplish that. I know there's a lot of churches here. I've driven around the neighborhood. My wife and I drove around and looked and saw all the churches that are here. But, you know, there's a lot of folks who say they go to church who don't go to church. And just because you go to church doesn't mean you're a follower of Jesus. There are hundreds of thousands of people around here who need the good news of Jesus Christ. And this church can play a vital role in increasing the footprint of the gospel in the state of Florida. So I'm really glad to be here. And we'll have a little short meeting afterwards with a few leaders. And then Vicki and I will head back to Jacksonville, which is a long drive, right, from here. You guys live way out in the... a few times. Can I pray for you guys? Father, I thank you for this church and the rich heritage that it has. And I thank you that they have been making disciples all these years. And I pray for this church that you would give them much fruit as they move forward, advancing your kingdom. Lead them with your spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Brian, thank you.
So just a reminder, after the service, we'll be on this side. Those of you, if you wanted to, or Harris wanted you to meet with the elders and the governing board, correct? So we'll just figure on this side of the church, and if you're already sitting there, you don't have to move. At this point, Dottie, if you want to come forward, and we'll have a little message for the kiddos. Or you want to stand right in front of them, I guess? Oh, no, there's kiddos over here, yeah. They all disappeared this week. I like coloring sheets. There's adult coloring books.
Good morning. Juliet, do you know my name? Do you know my name? Ask Audrey, what's my name? Miss Dottie, okay? Juliet, you want to listen to this? That's hard, you got something to do over there.
She already listened this week.
Oh, she already listened once this week?
Yeah. It wasn't for me, though.
Oh, okay. So the first thing I want to read you is something out of the Bible, okay? And it's in Psalms. You've heard of the Psalms, okay? In Psalm 100, verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Do you know what a generation is, Audrey? Okay, so you're one generation, and your mom and dad is the next generation. And your grandma and your granddaddy are the next generation. And your great-grandparents are the next generation. And it just keeps going back and back and back. Even the ones that are buried in the cemetery, they're still generations. Okay? So for all generations, God is faithful. Okay? And then I want to read you another verse. Okay? And this one's in Philippians. And it's in chapter 1, verse 6. And it says, being confident of this, I know it's going to happen, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That means until Jesus comes back. Okay? I gave you a coloring sheet that has that verse on it. Okay? And you can look at it when you get home. Philippians 1, 6. It's pretty important. Okay? It talks about God being faithful no matter what and forever. He's going to be faithful until the end of time. When I was a little kid, we used to go visit my cousins. They lived up in Holmes County. And Mr. Russ and Miss Lynette can figure this out. They're going to laugh when I say this. But every time we made that trip, we'd go to the same spot in the highway that was always torn up. There were always road graders and gravel trucks and a lot of men out working on the highway, and there were signs along the road. The signs look like this. Can you see those? Okay. Do you know what they say? Audrey, can you read that? That's hard. Under construction. Okay. And all those guys working in the pictures, those are pictures of the guys working on the road. Okay. And I kept thinking, boy, one of these days this road's going to be nice and it's going to be finished. Guess what? It's still not finished. I mean, that was years and years ago, probably 50 years ago or more, that they've been working on that same road between Vernon and Bonifay. Okay? Every single year when I would go up there, they would be working on that road. The problem is that every time they get one part fixed, then it'd be time to fix the part that they fixed the last time. And then they'd get that part fixed and another part would wash away. And so they have to keep fixing the rough spots every single time they get one part finished, then the next part would need fixing. That's the way people are too, okay? So we go down the highway. God's faithful. He's faithful to keep working on us, keep making us into the kind of person that he wants us to be. And he's going to be working on us for the rest of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for doing that. Okay? When he gets finished with one part, it's time to start working on another part. And that's the way we are. We don't ever get completely finished, because God still needs to work on us. He still needs to smooth out the rough places in our lives, okay? Let's pray. Lord, help us to remember that you are faithful to work out in our lives the rough spots and trying to make us into the kind of people that you want us to be. Amen.
Tom will take care of you. He knows how to mute me too, right, Tom? Yeah. I'm not encouraging you to do so, but you do have the power. So, Dottie, thank you for sharing that. I was wondering, man, why did she? That's a pretty coincidence. I'm doing the same thing. Oh, right, when we talked on Friday, I told you what I was preaching on, so that way you could dovetail it together. So I appreciate that. We'll start off with a little question here. So what does it mean to be holy? Set apart. That's a good answer. I have that answer written down myself. Anybody else? So what does it mean? So if something's holy, what is it? Any other thoughts?
Godlike.
Sacred. Absolutely. Exalted, is that what you said? Yeah. Yeah, exalted. And so, you guys are Stark's family, too smart for me, apparently. So, yeah, the basic meaning that holy is means to be set apart, to be consecrated, to be set apart. And the kicker is for the work, for the use of God. For his exclusive use. That's what it means to be holy, reserved for God and God's service, set apart for sacred use. There's that word, sacred. It also has synonymous meanings of good, pious, godly. We'll have to think of if something's holy, that's what we were talking about, but we can easily mistake the fruit for the root cause, and the reason why something might be good and pious and godly is because it has been first set apart. We can try all we want, and we might have some good behaviors, we might put on a nice shiny veneer, but deep down, it's going to come out, especially when we have those frustrations. Anybody have those frustrations where, man, you're not walking with the Lord yet that day, and it pops out, where did that come from? And, oh yeah, I am nowhere near filled with the Spirit today. I'm not walking, this is just raw brine. This is raw flesh coming out. I haven't intentionally set myself apart to God. And so today we're going to talk about that as we're going to kick off our however many week study looking at the book of Philippians. So let me pray for our time together. Lord, we thank you that as followers of you, we are set apart. And we regrettably come in front of you knowing that our behaviors do not match that. But we're so grateful that you have set us apart. And as Dottie already shared, that you will bring it to fruition. You will complete that good work that you have already started. We're so grateful for that. Help us to live to this great calling, this identity that we have in you. I pray that you would bless this time that we spend looking at your word today. Open up our hearts, our minds. Lord, give me your power, your unction to preach your word. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So last week we had looked at Philippians 4:8, kind of a kicker. And remember, Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Our minds should be consumed with these things. And it's tough, even in not 2020. It's tough to be focused on the Lord. Now we get political shenanigans, we got COVID, we got personal stuff, we have all this other stuff. And it's easy to lose our identity because we get wrapped up in things of this world rather than the things of God. We forget that we're holy. We might not be godly and pious, but we are set apart for God's use. And so I love Paul as he kicks off this letter here to the Philippians. He starts at Paul, Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are at Philippi with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul identifies himself with, here's my identity. Hey, myself and Timothy, who are we? What does it say? We're servants. Your translation may say bondservant. It might say slave. But basically, hey, we were bought with a price, and we're serving the Lord with our whole heart as best as we can. And I love in Romans how he wrestles with sin, does he not? And I do the things I don't want to do, and I do the things that I do not want. It's this mess that we all struggle with every day. But it is, I'm the servant of Jesus Christ. That's what he's about, which is why he's had incredibly fruitful ministry. He's got his one of his chief disciples, Timothy, with him. They're going around. They're writing from in prison, which really shapes the book. And when you see the joy where he's in prison, despite his circumstances, he's excited about the gospel, the kingdom going forward. So this is who he is. And who does he write to? He writes to the saints in Christ Jesus. To all the saints. Sorry, yeah, we're in the book of Philippians. I meant to have a title slide, but that didn't get in there. So we're in the book of Philippians if you want to. Or just pick any book of Paul, and maybe you can track along. He hasn't written that many letters. It's all one sentence anyways. So he writes to these saints, and you know, up until this week, I've kind of glazed over that word saints. Before, you know, just the saints, yeah, we're saints, we're whatever. You can have, you know, obviously the Catholic Church has a different definition of what a saint is. But does anybody know what that word saint means? What does that word saint mean if you were going to go look at that Greek? Yeah, holy ones. To you holy ones, to you set apart. So it's not just, you're like a title like Christian. We overlook Christian. Yeah, well, we're just Christians. And a lot of us, we don't like to use the word Christian because there's some folks who use it and their life isn't like Christ. But man, Christian, if I'm a Christian, I'm supposed to be one who my priorities and my character matches Christ. That's what a Christian is. If we're a saint, he's saying your identity, you are a holy one. You're a holy one because of who? Because who are they in? Christ Jesus. You are set apart. This is your identity. Get out of the frustrations of your life. This is who you are. You're elevated. He's writing to the saints. First and foremost, he's writing to the people in Philippi. And he said, oh yeah, also, yeah, the overseers and the deacons. Oh yeah, the church leaders, you guys as well. But he's writing to the everyday believer. I love it. And so I think that it's important for us to recognize that identity. So they're saints, they're holy. What other word do we use for this? Sanctified. These are folks that are sanctified. Once again, we look at the fruit of sanctification and say that's what sanctification is. It's, man, I'm really acting righteous and godly. Well, no, I'm sanctified if I'm on Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 5 and 6, by grace you have been saved and raised up with him and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is our identity as followers of Jesus Christ. We forget it because my mouth gets in my way, my behaviors get in my way, this world frustrates me, I'm not thinking about those things, those Philippians 4, 8 things. And so it's easy, Satan comes in and he distracts a little bit. Remember, if you're 1 degree off, you're trying to go 360, you're going 359, after a mile you're 92 feet away, after 60 miles you're a mile away, it's easy to deviate. This world can lie to us. That's what Satan does. He deceives us. But this is who we are. We are set apart. We are sanctified. This is something that Jesus has already done for us. And as Dottie shared, he's going to bring it to completion. He started, he will finish. And he comes with the greeting, grace to you, peace from God our Father. I love that. He greets him with grace and peace. You know, if we're going to do ministry, if we're going to have kingdom impact, reaching the lost, furthering the gospel, we're going to need God's grace because we're going to mess up so much. We're going to need God's peace. That way we're not beating ourselves up. Oh, I could have done, I should have done, I would have done. Grace, we'll regularly be insufficient, but it's God's grace that makes us sufficient. He doesn't condemn us, but keeps using us. We're not condemned, but we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1. So he prays this over them. And then goes into verses 3 through 5. He says, I thank my God in all remembrance of you. How awesome is that? Every time he thinks about the Philippian church, he's thankful for them. That's pretty impressive. So I don't think about it. Put in your mind your favorite person. You got your favorite person in your mind right now? Now think about every time you think about that favorite person. Every time you think about that favorite person, is it always thankfulness? Probably not. Probably not. So this speaks to Paul, the grace that he has. This also speaks heavily to the Philippian church, because as we know, so it's easy. Okay, one person, you can, you know, they might be a fantastic, awesome, they knock it out of the park, they're an incredible blessing. But you know, when you get a group of at least 3 to 5 people, 100 people, I'm not sure how many you're in the Philippian church, but man, when you think about a group, things can get a little more dicey, can't they? You get 100 people, you're going to have 100 different personalities. Boy. He says, I thank God in all my remembrance of you. I don't think Paul's a liar. I think this is how he honestly, genuinely reacts. Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making my prayer with joy. So as he's praying, he's lifting up that there's this joyful activity for this. I'm sure he's praying for God's blessings on them. But the why comes into account. Verse 5. Why is it this way? He says, because of your partnership in the gospel. That's why it's joyful. Not because, man, you have taken such good care of me. Not because you guys are so nice to each other. Not because of a million different worldly reasons. But he said, but your partnership in the gospel. Paul's elevated it. Remember, who's he writing to? What's that S word? He's writing to the saints. These called out ones. He's saying, hey, you guys are living up to this calling. You've really partnered with me from the first day until now. He's just so incredibly grateful for them. So let's take a walk down there. Actually, before we get there, what is the gospel? It's so easy to have different definitions of the gospel. So what is the gospel? Well, we know it's good news. Good news what? It starts with bad news, that we're all sinners. We were born sinners with a sinful nature. But Jesus, he lived a perfect life. He is God, died on the cross for our sins. But then he rose again on the third day to show that he had defeated death and sin. That's the good news. In a nutshell, we'll all have different wordings or, you know, things of that nature, but that's the essence of the gospel. That's the good news, and they've partnered in this. Not that they've simply done a social justice ministry, which isn't bad. We need to have those hands and feet. How do we reach people that are hurting? Remember, it's from before until now. So just a little background of how he got to Philippi. So he's starting off. He's with Silas. He's with Timothy, I think Luke might be there, might not. But here they go. They're in Asia. That's the golden star there. They're moving through. Remember, they're going through Phrygia and Galatia. The Holy Spirit's forbidden them. Don't speak in Asia, which is pretty weird. Like, this is his job. This is what he's going to do. So they move along. They get to someplace else, and the Holy Spirit didn't allow them to go north. But then he gets this vision of, sorry, I should have made that longer. Right now it's in Philippi, but as he gets to the coast, he gets this wonderful vision. For man, come over to Macedonia and help us. There's this man. So he says, God has called us to preach. So they go, and the first place they get to is Philippi. Do any of you all remember, who did they meet when they get there in Philippi? You remember that first person? That purple lady. Yeah, we got Lydia. So he gets there. There's this great, the conversion of Lydia. He goes looking for these people, these godly people, God seekers, and they're down there praying. He goes, shares the gospel. Lydia comes to faith. Her household was all baptized. Lydia says, hey, come stay with me. There's this great excitement. And so the Philippian church is born there. And then we can move on. Paul and Silas, there's this person. There's this young, I believe it's a young lady, this slave girl. She's saying these men are the servants of the Most High God to proclaim the way of salvation, which seems like that's a pretty great thing. I mean, if I had somebody with a little bullhorn going in front of me, you know, it almost seems like John the Baptist type stuff, does it not? But of course, this is demonic activity. Paul casts out the demons from them. The owners are pretty upset because this is how they make their money from the divination. And so they're beaten, they're imprisoned, everything goes on. And this is a pretty low point, I would imagine. But Paul doesn't give up. He keeps on going in the midst of this tough stuff. And so you have Paul and Silas in prison. The prisoner was, I'm sorry, the there's this big earthquake. The prison guard, remember, he's terrified. Oh, no, all my people have escaped. I might as well just go kill myself so that way I don't get killed. But Paul, he doesn't run or flee. Doesn't an earthquake from God seem like the perfect opportunity to leave jail? I'll tell you what, that's my natural reaction. All right, great. Lord, you freed me from prison. I've been in prison because I cast out demons. Obviously, you've rescued me. So it's so important. Remember, God's ways aren't our ways. What's he doing? Paul is so in tune with the Lord, Holy Spirit. Remember, he's a called out one for God's purpose. He stays there. He leads this jailer to Christ and then his family. Remember, the jailer says, what must I do to be saved? Well, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And the result, they spoke the word of the Lord to him and all who were in his house, and he and his family were baptized at once. There's this immediate, they're all in. Both with Lydia and the Philippian jail. This is a pretty exciting stuff. We'll go on. They exit, they go to Lydia's house and encourage, and then they move on. These are the foundations about 10 years before this letter was written. Rich foundations. We'll see in the end of chapter 4 of Philippians, he said, you know, I went all over in this area. You guys are the ones who supported me throughout all these years. These other churches, they didn't, but you guys have. You've been faithful with me, partners with me. I imagine their ministry has grown and grown their impact on that region because they're focused on the gospel, reaching that lost in their community. I love how Paul says it with every time he thinks about them, there's that joy. That's got to be pretty awesome. Every time you think about these people, there's joy. You see the rich history. And that's just a little snippet. I imagine they could have multiple books, perhaps a whole Bible's worth of narratives of what's gone on. But he has incredible joy when he thinks about them. And if we remember from a number of weeks back, we look at John 15. Jesus said, abide in me and I in you as the vine. And he says, why? So that my joy may be in you. If you're abiding, we're bearing fruit, you're following with me. And that your joy may be full. There's fullness in following Jesus, partaking in the gospel. Here's this. Whose kids are those? So then he continues on with the verse that Dottie's already shared. He said, I'm sure of this. He who began a work in you, good work in you will bring it to completion. That saint at the beginning, I'm going to keep on doing these things. At the day of Christ Jesus, when he comes back, man, it's going to be full and complete. So don't, today is going to be tough and we're not going to arrive there. Remember that grace, that peace, keep on going on. He says, it's right for me to feel this way about you all because I hold you in my heart. For you all are partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and the defense and confirmation of the gospel. You guys are there with me, praying for me, whether I'm imprisoned or defending the gospel. So it's those words, sharing the gospel out there, the confirmation of the gospel. That's how we live our lives every day. If somebody saw us interacting in Walmart or at a restaurant or whatever, would that be confirmation of the gospel or would that be ye? I better stay away from that church and that person. The confirmation of the gospel, just the way they're living their lives, they're out there. For he says, for God's my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Christ Jesus. There's something about being around those people that are on fire for the Lord. There's something, I know I love the new believers in the Lord. They're passionate, they're on fire. They don't know much else except for that Jesus is Savior, but they're going out and sharing it. I think I've told you all this before. When I first came to Christ back in 2006, everybody at BJ's Wholesale Club thought I became a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness because I was telling them about Jesus all the time. Apparently, the evangelical church does not tell people about Jesus. Is that a problem? They thought I was a Mormon. I took some of them to the church. Oh, okay. I didn't find out until the end. I mean, this is wacky stuff. This isn't to disparage Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons. These are good people just deceived with little things that some theology has gotten off. We can talk about that another time, but if you deny Jesus, who he is as God, then you've rejected all of God. I just love, he'll bring it to completion. It's not on us. We follow him. He's going to bear the fruit. He's going to make us more and more like him. But you find them incredibly attractive. I want to be with you guys. I want to keep on doing ministry. Thank you for sending your support my way. And then he concludes this introductory part. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more. Your love, this agape love, this love that you're putting what's best according to God's standards. It's not, I pray that your relationships and your lovey-dovey, mushy friendships are going to abound, but no, that the sacrificial, it's all about the Lord and His will, God and His standards for them. We know it's often sacrificial to our desires, to our comforts, but that it will grow more and more. Well, why? We're already set apart to Him. This is already our identity, but that it would become part of us. We would grow in our sanctification. Grow more and more with the knowledge and discernment. As we're growing in love, we're knowledge, we're becoming knowing Him more. And not just one problem we can have in the church is we know more God's stuff and we miss God. We can memorize Bible verses, but we're not going to the Bible to see who it reveals. The Bible is not the fourth person in the Trinity. The Bible reveals the Trinity to us. How can we get closer to the Lord? Growing our knowledge. And so this is the experiential knowledge. And I love this neat Greek word. Another fun thing learning when you study. So the gnosis is having that experiential, but this Greek word is epigenosis or something along those lines. So it's that epicenter. So I'm getting really into that bullseye there. I want you to grow more and more. And man, this is who He is. Not just, all right, great, you know Him. But man, we're really getting to know the heart of God. We're getting closer and closer in our relationship. And so you bound with discernment, that depth of insight. What do I do with this knowledge? It's great to know, okay, this is what Jesus would do, but if I have the zero discernment on what to do with that, we're in trouble. Because the Bible doesn't say, what do I do in 2020 when coronavirus hits? The Bible doesn't say, what do I do when it's a Biden-Trump election? The Bible doesn't say that. We have to discern, Lord, what do you want me to do? I know you. I know your heart. Lord, what do you want me to do? And so the purpose that you can approve what is excellent. You can approve what is these things of God. This top, not just, we can do a lot of good things, but are they the God things? Approve of what is good. What is the best thing? Why? So we can be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. I'll tell you what. I think a lot of us say, Lord, come back soon. We're excited. Come back. Rapture your church. Come back. We want to be with you. I don't want that. There are 6 billion people in this world who do not know Jesus Christ. My calling is to equip you all so we can share the gospel, we can spread His good news. For me, I this is just my heart. It's incredibly selfish for me to want to just be in heaven. When there's so much, especially as I look at my life, and I need to look at it with grace and peace, there's a lot of opportunities that I've missed because I've chosen my own comfort. I've chosen my own ease, my own whatever. Could I go before the Lord right now as pure and blameless? Lord, you set me apart back in 2006, these 14, 15 years. I've lived entirely for you. I haven't. Obviously, we're not going to be perfect. But Lord, I felt like I've fulfilled what you've given me to do. I don't feel like I can do that right now. I feel like there's more ministry, more whatever He wants me to do. In this hurting, dark community. We know the opioid epidemic is terrible in this area. How are we reaching those folks? If we're honest, we're a pretty comfortable church. We're socioeconomically, we're middle class, perhaps upper middle class. We're doing pretty well, by and large. Are we reaching those hurting in Bay County? Those who desperately need the gospel. And instead have turned to other things, they've become addicted with various other things. I'm not sure if I could say I'm pure and blameless in reaching folks, my neighbors here. That way we can prove what's excellent, not just the good thing. There's lots of good things out there. So you can be filled with the fruit of righteousness or be filled with the fruit produced from righteous living. We know that fruit, the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, the fruit that comes from making disciples who make disciples the lost, and they're reaching the lost, and there's this great chain reaction. It's pretty... I don't know, I haven't done any study, but I would venture to say that most of us are, how do you talk about generations? I don't know, we're probably like 1,000th generation Paul disciples. If you think about it, he reached most of Europe, and most of us are of, well, he didn't reach, you know, deep into Europe, but I would venture to guess we're probably 1,000th generation Paul disciples. Because he made disciples, who then they made disciples, and they kept on, and this domino effect kept on going, and here we get to stand right now. That's pretty awesome. That's quite the heritage that we have. That's incredible fruit. Will our fruit be the same, or will we just kind of be a spiritual dead end? A little spiritual cul-de-sac. It's a nice community, but is it going forward? Is it going somewhere? We could be filled with the fruit from righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And all this is just, it's all him. We can't change hearts. We can be a conduit for him, but we can't change anybody's heart. One day I'll learn that I can't do it. We just want to be faithful. So as we close out today, I want us to bring us back to that identity. Who are we? We are saints, and more importantly, we are set apart to God for his use. Whatever that use is. There's 48 of us here today, right, Wayne? Shouldn't be reading text messages while I preach. But there's 48 of us here today, 48 with unique spiritual giftings, people that we're going to interact with. Lord, what do you want from me? How do I further your kingdom? And for some of us, it might be building into relationships that he'll bear fruit years down the line. For other of us, it's going to be opening our mouth today and there'll be fruit coming today. But are we going to say, Lord, here I am. Send me. Remember, that was the verse, if you can remember way back before COVID was a problem for us. That Isaiah, Lord, here I am, send me. I believe that was the verse he gave us. Are we going to be a church that says, Lord, here I am, send me. What do you want me to do in this community? I hope that would be us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the incredible impact that Paul has had. We thank you that things got furthered when things got incredibly tough, that he remained faithful to you. Lord, there's so many frustrations in this world. There's so many distractions, so many things that can get us off kilter. Lord, help us to focus on you. Help us to bear much fruit for your glory. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.